With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, check it out. November 19th to the 24th, PNC Broadway in Pittsburgh series. You got to get there. A Bronx Tale, Broadway's hit new musical, and we've got the man, Chaz Palminteri, in studio right now. Chaz, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm good, guys. How you guys doing?
We are great. Jim has been excited about this for weeks.
Chomping at the bit.
He is the biggest Bronx Tale fan you'll ever find. You probably hear that like 10 times a day.
At least in Pittsburgh.
But
maybe.
We found the biggest Bronx Tale fan in Pittsburgh, so Jim's just going to conduct the interview.
Well, Chaz, you know, I'm fascinated. I know it started out as a one-man show, and then you hooked up with De Niro, and you made the movie, which was fantastic. It doesn't seem like it was so long ago. How the heck do you make a musical out of this?
Well, you know, it's the story. It really comes down to the story. I did the one-man show first, and that was the huge hit that really broke my career. That's the thing that made me famous. And then everybody, you know, it's the story. Everybody wanted it, but I refused to sell it unless I was in it and unless I wrote it because it was my life. And then finally, De Niro saw it, and he said, hey, you'd be great as Sonny, and it's your life. You should write it. I'll play your father, and I'll direct it, and we'll go partners. And boom. Then my career just exploded. But you make it a musical because it's such a good story that when you have those elements of the mother, the father, son, it's their archetypes, these characters, Sonny. It's not about good and evil. It's about gray and gray. It's just perfect for a musical.
And yet, I've had favorite. Everybody probably has the same favorite scenes.
Here it comes. You ready? Here comes the impressions.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I can't do impressions because like the kids did of all you guys. But the dice scene. Okay.
Right.
I mean, that's fantastic. You keep throwing guys in the bathroom.
Right.
One guy's too ugly. The other guy's too fat.
Right.
Do you do a song about that?
Yeah. We did the song, it was the dice scene song. It was great. It was really very exciting.
Unbelievable. And then when you tune up the bikers and the bikes, you can do a song about that?
No. The biker scene, see, there's certain songs, certain moments you couldn't do into music because you want the realism there.
Right.
And the biker scene, that was tough, and that was real. So we kept that, and we had the songs sandwich that.
I was also fascinated how, and you played the Sonny character, how there was such goodness underneath.
Right.
Of a guy who was so violent.
He was very violent. But you have to realize, what makes the story so I guess, approachable is that Sonny said the same thing to C as the father did. Exactly the same thing. You know, stay in school, go to college, make something out of your life. The idea was the father did not want the boy to hang out with Sonny because he was afraid that something would happen and he would be influenced by him. So that's what made it, you felt for Sonny because he didn't want the kid to be a bad guy. It just said who Sonny was.
Well, when you were a kid, you know, real life, how did you avoid getting into that side of the neighborhood where you grew up?
Well, because I had these guardian angels. I had my mother and father were like, you know, they really watched over me. Couldn't stay out too late, get upstairs. They were on top of me constantly. You know, stay in school, do this, study. And Sonny, even Sonny, the character of Sonny was like, hey, don't hang out with those guys. Go upstairs. Get out of here. You know, so I just had these guardian angels. I mean, I could have been dead 5 times already. Seriously. And I say that humbly. For whatever happened, I'm just a lucky guy. You know?
But is there that Henry Hill-like temptation of what's going on down the block and I can get involved in that?
I mean, that's a good question. Not really, no. No, I mean, I was this artist trapped in this like street guy in a neighborhood. I was an artist. I wanted to act. I wanted to write. I used to write poetry. But I would keep that to myself, you know. And I was this artist. And I didn't want to be a wise guy, no. Was I attracted to those guys.
To the glamorous lifestyle that they led.
Yeah, the money was that intoxicating sometimes. But I didn't have it. I didn't have that thing inside of me where I wanted to be a thief or rock. No.
November 19th to the 24th at the Benedum. Check it out, A Bronx Tale. Do you think that's why I can play in Pittsburgh, though?
Because absolutely.
There's a little bit of...
It's a family movie.
Right.
It's a family musical. See, like I always say, Goodfellas is a gangster film. And a great one. One of the greatest. But Bronx Tale is not a gang. It's not a gangster movie, and it's not a gangster musical. It's about a young boy coming of age, getting the best of Sonny, the best of his father, and becoming a man. Look, Alfred Hitchcock used to say, "There's only three things you could do in a movie or a musical or anything, and if you do two out of three, it's a hit." He says, "You can make people laugh, you can make people cry, or you can scare them. That's it." In Bronx Tale, we do all three. I guarantee you, when people come to see it, they cry at the end, then they stand up and cheer. And it, look, we ran for 2 years on Broadway. Then we already did a year of a national tour. Now we're on our second year. The audience doesn't lie. If they like it, they come.
You get more nervous on camera or on a stage where you know you can't mess up? You know you can't retake it. You can't bring it back.
I don't get nervous either one. I get nervous if I.
That's a big answer. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, I get nervous.
The only time you can't say that. A lot of people can't say I don't get nervous.
I don't get nervous. So, what I do get nervous is if I write a new play, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting in the audience watching the audience for the first time. That gets me a little nervous. Or if I direct a movie and for the first time the audience is going to see it. I have no control then because I just sit there and I got to wait. Uh-oh, I hope this works. You know, there I get a little nervous. But to be on stage, no, I don't get nervous.
Not even the first time De Niro walks in to see it?
No.
It's amazing.
No, it's the truth.
It's amazing.
I'll be honest with you.
We'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about the guy who you succeeded as the doorman at the Limelight, Barry Rorson.
Yes.
You know Slice.
I know Slice really good. I mean, are you kidding me? Wait a minute. I was there before Slice. I was one of the first guys there. Then Slice came in 1982. I think it was. Yeah, that's a long time.
And I heard a story. He actually accidentally stole a commercial role from you. Is that right? I read that somewhere.
No.
Yeah, he tells this story about how he accidentally got cast because he was standing in the room and they were casting for the role of a catcher in a commercial, a baseball catcher.
Oh, that's right, the catcher. You know what? Barry's right. He is right. That's right. He did do that. Yes.
Speaking of catchers, pitchers, and everything, is this the Yankees year or is it not?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah,
I'm so happy that Verlander got beat yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm so happy because I'd rather play the Rays than play them. And you know it's good. Listen, even if we play Houston, their pitchers are getting beat up now, which is great. I love it.
You know, every time John Sterling says something funny, we replay it on our show. We can't get enough Sterling.
No, okay. Sterling's great.
He's the best.
He's
great.
Just that.
I mean, I can't picture, you know, him not doing the Yankees.
We were talking about. You let him go as long as he wants.
Yeah.
Let him go. Legend.
I mean, Michael Kay's great on TV and Sterling's great on the radio. They're all great. I mean, look, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. You can't get me to say anything that's wrong.
Is it tough to be a Yankees fan, though? Not tough. It's the wrong word. It feels like the Cowboys. It feels like Duke basketball or Notre Dame football. Everyone else is out against you.
Everybody. And people always go to me. They go, "Chaz, you won 27 championships. You want to win every year?" And the Yankee fans always go, "Yes. Yes." That's exactly right.
Check it out. The Bronx Tale, Broadway's hit new musical at the Benedum, November 19th through 24th, right around the Thanksgiving holiday. Chaz, we thank you so very much.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
All righty.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.